Well, a couple of weeks ago, began a series in which I simply entitled Life in the Spirit, and I want it to be a series in which we just kind of walk in step with the Spirit as the teacher as well as the congregation and see where the Holy Spirit leads us. I came to a conviction that individually and as a church, that God is calling us to a deeper dimension in Him beyond our activities and beyond our ministries and beyond our gatherings and so on. What is it He wants to do in each of our lives individually? And what is it He wants to do in our church at this juncture in our history? What does the future look like for you as you follow Jesus Christ? What does the future look like for our church as we follow Him? And it will depend on many things, which I've talked to you about over the months and years. But it will depend upon what the Spirit says to us and how much we are willing to do what He asks. And first of all, how much we understand, how much we hear what He is saying to us. And so we're going to kind of unpack this life in the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that He gives His church, and so on. We're going to take some time in that. The key scripture, as I already kind of read to you partly, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 and then verse 25 says this: "So I say, walk by the Spirit." And then verse 25, "Since we walk," or live, as I told you, those words are used interchangeably, "since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." A paraphrase that I read sometimes I really like, J.B. Phillips paraphrase, it's an older paraphrase. He says, "Live your whole life by the Spirit." And so not just our Sunday life or our church life, but our whole lives lived by the Spirit. And so what is the Spirit saying to me? What is He saying to you? What is He saying to us as a church? Last time, and one of the things about series, sometimes you miss parts. I don't like to do too much recap, but sometimes it's important to do some. So a little recap this morning, because it's 2 weeks ago, and if your memory is like mine, you may need to jog. We looked at a record that we have in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, a record of what the Spirit was saying to seven individual churches. Each of those churches were serving Jesus Christ. Each of those churches were preaching and moving forward in the gospel. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit needed to say something specific to each of them. And the Holy Spirit used a man by the name of John, who was by that time probably 80, 90 years old, a man who, because of his faith in Jesus, had been put on an island in exile, in a prison, an island called Patmos that was basically used as a prison. And John was there because of his faith. And in that situation, the Holy Spirit spoke to John and enabled John to write seven letters to seven distinct churches about what the Holy Spirit had told him for them. And so we didn't look at those letters necessarily, but the point is that we all serve the same Lord. We're gathered here this morning as believers, as Christians, as people who profess faith in Jesus Christ, and we serve, we preach the same gospel, but the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us individually because we're individual. Because your life is not mine, and mine is not yours, and your circumstances are not mine, and so on. The Holy Spirit speaks to us individually through His Spirit. Kind of summed up the last message with a quote that we took from a commentator by the name of William Barclay, and this was basically the summation of the last message. John was in Patmos, and John was in the Spirit. We have seen what Patmos was like, this terrible, isolated prison. And we have seen the pain and the hardship that John was undergoing. No matter where a man is, no matter how hard his life, no matter what he's passing through, he may still be in the Spirit. And if in the Spirit, even on Patmos, the message of God will come to him. And so we recognize that some this morning may feel like my life is a little bit of a Patmos experience right now. I feel like I'm in a little bit of a prison. I feel like there's a lot of hardship around me. But as we live life in the Spirit, despite our circumstances, we can still hear God speaking to us. And so, John, because of his life in the Spirit, he was able to understand who God was, what God's purpose was in his life. Living in the Spirit affected what he saw, it affected what he heard, and it affected what he did. And as we live our lives in various circumstances, we need someone to ensure that we see the right things, that we hear the right things, and that we do the right things. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we're going to look, as I said, over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at some of the specific work of the Holy Spirit. What is it that he does? What is it that I need him to do in my life? But before we do that and understand what it is he wants to do, we may need to understand a little bit about who he is and what his purpose is. It's like I had this thought. It's like you're watching a house being built. And in my neighborhood in Petawawa, it's still the neighborhood is still developing, almost to completion. And you look out and you see a patch of land. And then all of a sudden there's this day in which something comes in. You know, the excavator comes in and the land is cleared and the hole is dug. And it's like, hey, there's going to be something here. And then there's the stage where you watch it being built and you know, oh, that's the color siding. That's the color shingles. Oh, that's the layout of the house. But then there's this kind of stage where there's some groundwork. And you hardly notice it, but if the footings are not put down properly and the foundation is not laid properly, then the whole house is going to have issues. And so that's kind of where we are this morning. We've unearthed the fact that we're going to discover life in the Spirit. And some of you are excited about that. And we're going to talk about the various things and the unique things that the Spirit does. But this morning is kind of that foundation. It's making sure the footing is correct. Who is the Holy Spirit? We talk about him a lot, especially in our particular tribe. We ask the Holy Spirit to do a lot. We credit the Holy Spirit with doing things. And so who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? And we'll unpack a little bit, but just let me describe it this way. This thought kind of came to me early this morning. The Holy Spirit is God who lives in you. The Holy Spirit is God who lives in you. That presence of God that you feel in your life, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and I'm going to try to explain that a little better in a few moments. Or the third person of the Trinity, we use that term. The Holy Spirit enables us to receive Jesus. He enables us to feel his presence, and he enables us to show Jesus to the world around us. Now, in Scripture and even today, the Holy Spirit works in spectacular ways. We're going to talk a little bit next week about creation, how something went from nothing to a beautiful world through the spectacular working of the Godhead, and including the Holy Spirit. He still does that. We hear these remarkable stories of how the Holy Spirit did something that was not possible naturally. And it had to be a supernatural work. But for our series this morning, and for the next little while, more concerned about, I hate to use the word general work because it's very special work, but how is the Holy Spirit involved in your life? How is he active in your life and my life? Not necessarily in the big things, but in the everyday life of a child of God. How is the Holy Spirit works in your life tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock when you show up at work, Friday evening when you get off work, when you're with your family and so on. How is it the Holy Spirit works? And how does he work when we gather together in group, in concert, when we gather together as a congregation? We have a statement in our doctrinal statement. We form a doctrine based on Scripture, based upon our best study and our best understanding and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Our church denomination formulates what they call a statement of faith to best as possible to put into words what it is that we believe. One of our doctrinal statements is this. We believe there is one God, he eternally existent in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity symbol kind of helps us kind of understand that a little bit. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, but all three of them are God. Just this week, I had an interesting example. First 2 days of this week, I was out of town on a course I was asked to take by our district, and I had a set of notes that I was given and so on, and I was given this. What is it? What is it? It's a pen. So it is a pen, and I can write with it. On the top of this, you can't really see, is a soft piece of rubber. It's called a stylus because people use it for computers, and so I can use the top of this to move my notes up and down and realize I've got a lot of notes this morning. And so it's a pen. It's also a stylus, and as I was doing the course and the training, and as I was taking notes and things, I thought, I wish I had a highlighter. And at one of the points where I was just kind of picking at this pen, I pulled this off and realized, hey, it's a highlighter. And so this is a highlighter. It's also a stylus. It's also a pen. It doesn't stop being a pen because I choose it to be a highlighter. It doesn't stop being a highlighter because I'm using it. You get the point. And so in kind of a very crude way, this is three in one. This is one unit, but operating distinctly at different times in three distinct ways. As a pen, as a stylus, I think that's what it's called, and as a highlighter. And so the Holy Spirit is that. We believe, as we stated here, that there is only one God. There are not multiple gods. The Bible clearly, and I'll talk a little bit more in that in a moment, the Bible clearly teaches there's one God, but the Bible also, I believe, clearly teaches us that God exists present, not existed. God exists in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's central to our faith, not as some people believe, three different versions of God throughout history. Some people believe that in the Old Testament there was God, you know, creation, and God said, let there be light, and God parted the waters, and so on. And then Jesus came, which he did, but it's like, okay, now God is done. And Jesus walked upon earth, and he performed miracles, and he led people, and he hung on a cross. And now Jesus' work is done, and now we have the Holy Spirit. Three distinct periods of history. But according to the Bible, I can find no proof that God is still not working in our lives. I find no evidence that Jesus is not at work. I find evidence that God is at work distinctly, working today in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 12, it's a verse in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 29, that says this. Jesus is responding here. This is the words of Jesus. He's responding to a question. Well, Lord, what's the most important things we can do? What's the greatest commandment and so on? And in Jesus' response, he says this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The challenge that we have, and this was a part, actually, of the Jewish prayers from the book of Deuteronomy, that the Jews would recite, and it was a very important prayer in their faith. They would pray it twice a day. And so it's important to understand that God the Father, the God the Son, and God the Spirit are revealed distinctly in Scripture, but the Scripture clearly says that they are one. And again, the confusion comes in sometimes when we don't understand what that word one means. There are two words, ironically, two words in Scripture for the word one. I don't pronounce either of them correctly, I'm sure. The first word is a simple mathematical word, Y-A-C-H-I-D, Yachid, Yachid. It means one, as in one item. You know, there's one piano on the platform. One piano. I have one microphone, so on. It's a simple mathematical word. The other word, and the word that's used for God, is this word here, E-C-H-A-D, Hikad. And it means a composite one or a united one. So we have one piano, we have one guitar, we have one bass and so on, but we have one band. We only have one band here this morning. We don't have a band in that corner and one here and one down there. We don't have bands competing. We have one band. That's it. But it's a composite word. It's made up of many components. And so when the word is used to describe God, that we have one God, it's a united word. It's the meaning that we have a composite unity. God exists in three persons, but God is one. Now, in Scripture, there's a lot of use of that word. In creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 5, we're told in Genesis, in the story of creation, there was evening and there was morning. That's two separate times of day. And it says what? They were one day. That's the same word. Where's some more? In Genesis chapter 2, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one. Man still remains man. Woman still remains woman. But together they form one unity in marriage. And that's the word, one. It's a composite one. When man started to try to understand God to a degree that they weren't ready to at that time, and the story of the fall in creation when Eve took the apple and so on and gave it to her husband and so on, we read these words. Man has now become like one of us. There's a plurality. And so the word that's used to describe God is one. He is one. But it's a composite unity. And we'll see as we look at other verses of Scripture that God is very much God the Father. That God is very much God the Son. But that he's also very much God the Holy Spirit. We seem to have an easier time grasping the fact of God the Father, because we picture God as a father more so. And certainly people portray, you know, God as this man in the sky and so on. And so subliminally, I think we have an easier time. The Bible clearly teaches us that the Father is recognized as God, yes. There's lots of verses for that. Letters, even in the New Testament, open. We have this word from God our Father. Jesus, when speaking, or in John's Gospel rather, when John was speaking of Jesus, in John chapter 6 and verse 27, he said, God the Father has placed his seal of approval upon me. And so We don't usually struggle with the fact that God is recognized as the Father. We don't always struggle with the fact that He's recognized as the Son, because we are familiar with the Christmas story, how God left the splendor of heaven and came and lived among us. He became flesh, it tells us. Sometimes we forget that He didn't cease to be God. He just also became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, I know there's a lot of scriptures, and if you'd like to have them, send me an email and I can send them to you. And John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was God." But then it says what? "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Wasn't like God, wasn't a part. The Word was God. And then it tells us something very special, one of the most vital verses of Scripture. Then it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," referring to Jesus. And so we kind of accept that fact. God, the Bible says, God the Father, we get that. The Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus lived among us. Look at His life. He did something that only deity, that only a God could do. Only God can give life. Only God can save people. Jesus practiced things that reminded us that He was and is God. And even other people recognized it. But if that's where we stop with our understanding of God, we miss something. God the Father, and then God the Father decided, I can't be up here. I need to go to their world. And so He becomes flesh, and God now dwells on the earth. But when was the last time you saw Jesus at the mall? Or here in church in physical form? When was the last time you saw Jesus at the airport or whatever? And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm simply making a point that if we recognize that God the Father was creator and that God became flesh because we needed to see Him on earth and think, well, He finished His job when He died on the cross and rose again and we won, He ascended into heaven, then we miss something. Because the reality is that we need God today. And in a day when Jesus is not walking on our streets, we need God to be a part of our lives. And so, when Jesus left, He said, He recognized that we're going to need something. He looked ahead in history and He knew. He saw your life, He saw my life, and He said, you know what? Paul Perry is going to need some help. Because he's not necessarily the sharpest tool in the toolbox all the time. He's going to need help. And He knew that you were going to need help. And He knew that you were going to need the assurance that your sins are forgiven. That not only did Jesus die for you, die on the cross, but that if you accept Him, you are a child of God. And so Jesus, before He left, He said, I prayed and I asked God to send another Comforter who will be with you forever and will not only be with you, but He will be in you. And the Scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit that came, and when the Holy Spirit was promised, and in John's Gospel, chapter 14, we read the words where it says, I will come to you. And we read the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. And so we see this unity, and now Jesus says, this is now going to live in you. The writer to the Hebrews, in chapter 9, talks about the Spirit of God being the eternal Spirit. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, now the Lord is the Spirit. In every case, the Holy Spirit is not a subsidiary. The Holy Spirit is described as being every bit God, not revealed in Father or Son, but now revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. You see, if all we have in our lives is the understanding that there's a God who created us and had a plan for our lives, and He came in the form of a man and lived on earth and died for our sins, then we miss some things that are very important. And one of those things is the assurance, is that constant witness, that person who lives in us, who reminds us that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11 says this, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." And then a few verses later, he says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And so we needed a God to plan it, and we needed a Son to accomplish it. But we need the Holy Spirit to remind us that it is not just a story, that it's a reality, that it's alive in our hearts, and that the Spirit of God is still working in our lives. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us. He is God, and He leads us, and He lives in us. The Holy Spirit is our assurance. And because He lives in us, He leads us, and He guides us. And so, what does this mean for us this morning other than correct doctrine? I mean, it's good to have correct doctrine. But what does it mean for us this morning? Other than the fact that, okay, yeah, I'll believe that. That's good, I got it. The Holy Spirit is a person with whom we can have a personal relationship. He's not some vague force, you know, some Star Wars-ish force out there somewhere. The Holy Spirit is a person. And He has been deposited in us. And He lives in us. And He works in us. The Holy Spirit is the person who makes all the power of the Godhead, all the power of creation, all of God's love for humanity, all of the sacrifice of the Son. The Holy Spirit is the person who makes all of that personal. He makes it personal in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is one with the Father and the Son, one God revealed distinctly in three distinct persons, but because they are one, they work together to accomplish God's purpose. And this is not something new. If you go back to creation, you see, it's not that the Holy Spirit is new. He's always existed. God said, "Let us," if you read your creation story, "let us create." There was a unity before creation, and that unity, that Godhead of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a purpose from before creation, and He has a purpose today. Because He's one with the Father, the Holy Spirit works to accomplish what God has planned for us. And what God has planned for every one of us, we're going to talk as we go forward about the unique things for me that might be different from you. But what God has planned for every one of us here this morning, for every person that is listening or will ever listen to this message, for every person on this planet, what God has planned for us is to have a relationship with Him. He created us in His image. He didn't create anything else in His image. He created all things beautiful. But He created us in His image. And His plan is to have a relationship with us. That plan got disrupted because mankind tried to take things into their own hands and sin came into the world. But God's plan was not done. And so He sent Jesus. And he came, God in flesh came and walked upon the earth. And he was a man, a full man who walked on earth. And then he died to pay for those sins. And now God's Holy Spirit lives within us to remind us constantly of what we've sung about this morning, about what God has done for us and who we are in Him. And as He has entered every believer, God has not remained far off, but God has come near. And He lives in our lives. You see, some people want facts. Some people are facts people. Just tell me the facts. Show me chapter and verse. Give me the specifics. Okay, I got it. Other people are feeling people. You know, I just want to feel that presence. You know, God loves us so much, and God understands us so much that He's covered it all. The Bible clearly declares that He's God. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. And those who want facts and those who want feelings, well, the Holy Spirit helps us feel the fact that God loves us and sent His Son for us. And that is not just a feeling, that is a fact. The Holy Spirit helps us feel that God loves us. The Holy Spirit helps us feel the reality that we are the children of God. Because we all know that there are moments, even though I accepted Jesus Christ as a young child and I've confessed my sins to Him and do so, that there are days when I don't always feel like that. And so the Holy Spirit serves to help us feel the reality that we are forgiven, to feel the reality that we are a child of God. When Jesus came into the world, the Bible told us that He would be called Emmanuel, meaning God is now with us. The Holy Spirit, because He's a spirit, means that God is now in us. God is for you. The Father teaches us that God is for us. The Son teaches us that God is with us, and the Holy Spirit reminds us that God is in us. And He desires for us to live in that reality, that every day as a child of God, God lives in me. He talks with me. He leads me. He guides me. And so as we continue to explore, and next Sunday we're going to talk about what is it that the Holy Spirit does? What is it He wants to do right now? What's the important roles that the Holy Spirit needs to fulfill in our church and our lives right now? What's vital that only the Holy Spirit can do? We're going to talk about that. But as we do, be reminded that He is God, that He lives in you, and that He wants to lead you and to guide you into everything that He has purposed for your life. I sang a song earlier that says, "I need you more." So I want us to sing that this morning. Because I believe, I gave my life to Christ as a very young boy. But I need Him more today than ever. We live in a world that reminds us that we need Him more than ever before. But the good news this morning is that we have been given that promise, and that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He lives within us, and He can lead us into all of those things. Father, thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is truth, that it is factual, that it is accurate, that it is clear, that reminds us that we have a God who loves us, so much that he sent his son to die for us and pay the penalty for our sins, but also loves us enough that was willing to send his spirit to live within us, because I need that reminder 24/7. So Lord, as we are here this morning in this place, we know that you desire to work in our church, but we know that you desire to work in our individual lives. So Lord, as we confess before you this morning, as a group, as a church, Lord, as PPT, we confess we need you more than ever before. We need that reminder that your spirit is within us and wants to lead us and guide us, wants to speak to us, wants to help us. And Lord, we confess as individuals, I confess that I need you more than ever before. And so as we do that this morning, remind us, Lord, that all that we ask is ours, because not only have you granted it, but Lord, you've desired it and want us to have that. So let's stand together. Let's sing this a couple of times, and we're going to pray in a few moments. And again, this is a foundational, this is the footing. But maybe this morning you've been reminded that you really need the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. You'd like us to pray for you. You can come and stand. We'll pray that you will sense his presence in a very real way and that you'll hear his voice leading you. Or maybe this morning you've recognized that you've never really given your life to Jesus. You've never really acknowledged him, and you're feeling something that's telling you you should. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. One of his works of convicting you, drawing you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always about Jesus, drawing you to him and then displaying him through you. If you have a need this morning of any kind, we'd love to pray with you. So just take these next moments and just confess to him that you need him more than you ever have before, and take a confidence that he's going to answer and grant that desire.